Children are being excused to children's church. Two brave ladies to tackle with the children. The church must be relevant as to what's going on today, or you're wasting your time coming out on Sunday morning. And so there's something we want to talk about this morning. It's about a battle that you are involved in. You may not realize it, and then again you may. The church today is battling for the truth. We just sang a song that really proclaimed the gospel. The death, resurrection, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a battle going on, and you are involved, whether you realize it or not, for the truth. If I told you all the truth of what was going on today in our society, you would become angry. And when a person is angry, they don't make good decisions. They react more emotionally than they do decisively. And so we're going to start with a verse out of 1 John chapter 3, two verses actually. 1 John chapter 3, that'll be at the back of your Bible, last few books before the book of Revelation. And John, addressing the church, wrote this: "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." We have just one source of truth that is steadfast and sure. It was given to us by God, and there is no other source of truth in the world that is more reliable. The source of truth that we're talking about is the Word of God. The fact of the matter is that we are in a major battle right now. And if we do not win this battle, our way of life will be lost. I never thought I would have to say those words. When I began to hear a particular political party begin to tell lies, I did not connect it with the people of God. But it has come to the point that the political party is attempting to destroy Christianity. That's us, folks. To destroy the Christian faith. They have become our enemy. And the people who support that party are either blind or evil, without exception. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tell us, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That particular party has passed legislation that prohibits schools from telling parents of children 8 years and older that they are transitioning their child without their knowledge. It's actually going on at this legislation that has been passed. They claim that there are more than two kinds of genders and that God has nothing to do with anything. They have made that statement. They are no longer teaching our children to read and write. They are indoctrinating the children of this country to accept homosexuality, and they are teaching them to become involved in sexual perversion. It's actually taking place in schools. I would remind Christians everywhere that God has declared those who practice a perverted lifestyle, that God has declared them to be an abomination to Him. God has also declared that He has given them who practice such perversion over to a reprobate mind. This is not me talking, this is God talking from His word, the truth. People, the Christian must understand that we are in a battle with the world and that we are battling for Christ. After all, didn't Jesus make a statement about who He was? In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus said that He was the truth, and by the way, the only source of truth. Anyone who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior belongs to the devil. People who belong to the devil are not worthy to be trusted. They are not worthy to be trusted. We have many of that kind of people leaving our country right now. It does not matter what political party they belong to. They are not trustworthy. Let's agree on some truth right now. If a person does not belong to Jesus Christ through the new birth, they belong to the devil, since that is the only two choices that they have. We are told in God's word, 1 John 2:15 and 16, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them." It's not in them. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world." Do you understand that if a person loves the world, they cannot love God? Jesus told us, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. And we read exactly the same thing in Luke 16:13. We're also told in the Bible that the devil is ruling the world at this present time. Remember that we are not to love the world or any part of it. The Bible tells us about the world, Ephesians 2:2-3. "Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The prince of the power of the air is the devil. Each of us were at one time the devil's subjects before we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Before that time, we were the children of wrath. The devil is the father of lies. Would you rather serve the devil, or would you rather serve Jesus Christ? Jesus spoke of the devil during Jesus' ministry on earth. Jesus told us who the devil was in John 8:44. When he was addressing people in his time, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus also commanded us through the Apostle Paul not to lie to one another, Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is another name for the devil. According to the Bible, the devil is the father of lies, and lies are of the devil. If people lie, they are just obeying their father, the devil. We're getting ready to have an election, and no Christian should ever vote for a person who lies, nor a party that practices lying. That means that the Christian must do some research before he votes. No Christian should support anyone who lies in order to stay in power. It is not to be possible for the Christian to vote for some candidates because they are not worthy to serve the public because they are liars. God and Jesus had a lot to say about truth. Let's look at some of the things that they had to say, either through the disciples or in the world of God, Word of God. Paul told us in Ephesians 4:24 and 25. Ephesians 4:24 and 25. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This statement pertains to politicians too. They are to speak the truth, but unfortunately, they generally practice deceit. As the higher in political position they rise, the more they tend to lie to retain their position of power. Since God is our supreme being, we should all be worshiping him, but many don't because they are unable to tell the truth. John 4:23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that is why we are here this morning, folks, is we are here to worship God in truth, with the truth, his word. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then we are told God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And therein lies the crux of the problem. There are people who can't tell the truth. I don't think some of them even know the truth. They don't know God, and he is the foundation for all truth. Jesus, during his ministry on earth, was interested in proclaiming the truth to all of mankind. When Jesus knew that his death was imminent, he told his disciples that he would send someone else to them to help them. John 14:15 through 17 is the passage where he told them this. John 14:15 through 17. If ye love me, he said, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and then he made the prophecy, and shall be in you. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit indwelled believers all over the world. And he still indwells believers today, and he is the Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus, the truth is has done something that no other source of strength can do. Look at what we are told by God's word about the truth. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Then saith Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. That is a promise of God. So we have to stay by the truth. Jesus declared his disciples to be free in the truth. Not free from the truth, but free in the truth. Part of that freedom is that we are able to speak the truth in love. You find that in Ephesians 4, 15. Love and truth go together. We love our fellow man because we are living in the truth. Things go on in churches that should not go on, because we are supposed to be living in the truth. When gossip and backbiting occur, the people involved are not practicing the truth like God wants them to. So they are sinning as they are promoting the devil's program. If people come to a church, they should understand that they are coming to worship, and there is no place for anything but truth in the worship of God. A minute ago, we read a reason for the truth in worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24. We know that God is a God of love, and we find a statement about the truth in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, are telling us all the attributes of love. It uses the word charity. So charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity, or love, envieth not. Charity, or love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, is not proud, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love rejoices in the truth. We're told that in God's word, by God. Paul wrote about it in the epistle to the Philippians, to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Paul told us that we should be speaking the truth in love. If we love each other, then we should always be speaking the truth in love one to another. John, the only apostle to die a natural death, had something to say about the truth in 1 John 5, 6. 1 John 5, 6. We read an opening verse from 1 John when we opened the message. 1 John 5, 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have truth indwelling you. You have truth in your heart. And the devil has no control over you. There are some truths that we cannot explain, and one of them is the Trinity of God, of the Godhead. We can't explain that. There are other things we can't explain, such as why we should pray for wicked people who are attempting to destroy our way of life. I find it hard to pray for them sincerely and with purpose. And yet, we are told in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, even our enemies, those who are trying to destroy us. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that would pertain to our government and our that's trying to control us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's why we're going to be at the fair this year, folks. We will have a chance to hand out almost 200,000 gospel tracts. Now, we don't have any tracts. We've only got 15,000, okay, to pass out. But surely out of 15,000 gospel tracts, we'll have a chance to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing I can pray for those in authority over me, that they would come to a knowledge of the truth. I hope you are praying for all of those who are in authority over us, in our federal government, in our state government, in our local government. Wouldn't it be fantastic to see some of our legislators come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I pray that they will, but I don't believe that they will, yet I do pray for them. As we are concentrating upon the truth this morning, there are some things that we should think about before we close this message. Think of the outcome of the lives of those politicians who are prone to lie to their constituency to get a position of power. Just think about what God has said about them. It will give you more to pray about and to cause you to feel sorry for them when you think about what their end is going to be. We find that in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So all of those politicians who are lying to keep their position of authority are getting ready to undergo the wrath of God from heaven. I feel so sorry that most of this country does not know what we know this morning. And unless we get the message out in the next few weeks, those people are going to die, and like the rich man in Luke 16, they're going to open their eyes in hell. Luke 16:22-24 tells us, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How could any of us want that for anyone we know? How could any of us want that for anyone we know? Truth. It's a battle. It's going on right now. You are a part of it. We cannot afford to lose it. Father, you are the God of truth. have placed truth in our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we come before you, help us to proclaim the truth worldwide through our missionaries, through our people, through the gospel tracts that we're going to hand out in a couple of weeks. Father, may your will be done. May you touch the hearts of those who are going to receive gospel tracts, for those who are going to read them, and then, Father, that they might do what those gospel tracts tell them to do, that they might call out to Jesus for forgiveness of their sins. Thank you for using this ministry to do that. Help us as we prepare to do that. May our hearts be right, and may you be glorified by everything that is done, because we ask these things in Jesus' name.